It is summer, the season of travel, and I imagine many of you have done some traveling over these last few months. We certainly have. We went to summer camp as a family back in June, and most recently we returned just early part of this last week from a trip to Pittsburgh. Travel can be exciting, it can be adventurous. Some of my fondest memories of growing up have to do with family trips and vacations. And as we reflect on those memories, it is appropriate, I think, to come to worship and to be reminded that much of the biblical witness is filled with people who were on a journey. At the very beginning of the biblical narrative, everything seems settled down. Adam and Eve are in the garden and life is good. But as we all know, that doesn't last long. Soon, thanks to their own disobedience, the mother and father of humanity are sent packing. And so from the very first days, human history is a story of people on the move, people on a journey. Noah journeyed for 40 days and nights in the ark, and even when he got to dry land, his journey was not over. The story of God's chosen people, the Israelites, is the story of people on the move. It begins with the story of Abraham and Sarah, who, as the author of Hebrews reminds us, set out, not knowing where they were going. They set out to seek a new homeland, and in the process also find a new spiritual home with the one eternal God of the universe. Through God's promise of a son to the barren Sarah, the nation of Israel was born, with each generation setting out to find their own land and home. Eventually, the people are enslaved in Egypt, and the journeying is halted for some time. But then Moses hears the call to set his people free, and he does. And the great journey of the Exodus begins, leading ultimately to the Promised Land, a land meant to remind them of the goodness of the garden. But even that was not to last. As the Babylonians and Assyrians wage war, the Israelites are cast into exile, journeying in all directions to new homes. Some mourn the loss of their land. Others choose to assimilate and make peace with their new settings. But then again, once again, God provides a way to return home to Jerusalem, the holy city, to the temple. And the people rejoice as they depart yet another journey. You see, the God of Israel does not settle for very long, calling forth and sending us on journeys of all sorts, which is why the story of the Gospels should come as no surprise. The story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, which rarely depicts Jesus settling down, always on the move, on the go, journeying from one place to another, always with a purpose. And thus his disciples are the same way, following him from place to place, on a constant journey from here to there, and then there, and then there. His disciples don't just sit at the feet of a rabbi teaching in a synagogue. They move with him, try to keep up with him, road weary, but excited. Our biblical witness, our faith history, our ancestors, on a constant journey. And this is our story too. Oftentimes during the homily at weddings I officiate, I remind the bride and groom that marriage is not a destination, that they have not finally made it and can sit back and relax, but rather that marriage is a journey. And on that, their wedding day, the journey has truly just begun. As with any journey, there will be times of easy going, but there will also be tough sledding. It will require hard work on their part, I remind them, but it's worth it. Of course, the same is true of our lives, and especially of our faith, because faith is a journey, not a destination. Being a Christian is about far more than believing in a certain set of propositions about God and Jesus Christ. It is more than just understanding a book about Jesus. To be a Christian means to intentionally join Jesus on a journey, to walk with him and to follow him, to go where he leads, wherever that may be. Remember, Jesus said he was homeless, that he had nowhere to lay his head, no permanent resting place, would not even be welcome in his own hometown, and that ultimately the same would be true for his followers. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we get the roll call of faith, the listing of the important forebears of faith and what it was they did. It is important to note that as we read through this chapter, encountering Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Moses and Gideon, and so many others, the author of Hebrews does not set forth a list of beliefs that one must affirm in order to be a Christian. There is no list of events we must believe to be historically accurate in order to lay claim to the title of Christian. Rather, the author writes in terms of action and motion. As the author recounts the faith all-stars, he writes about what they did, where they went, how they answered the call to move from one place to another in order to follow God's will. The faith of these all-stars in chapter 11 is a faith on the move, on a journey. Having met God, they venture forth to where God calls them. And thus, we are encouraged to consider faith as not simply a set of ideas or rules or propositions to be affirmed, but rather as an invitation to embark on a lifelong journey with God, one that will constantly shape and reshape, mold and remold us as Christians. The irony, of course, is how counterintuitive we have made this obvious character of our history. For here we sit, in our bolted down pews, with our aged building, meeting at the same time every Sunday, most everyone in the same seat, same order of worship, same coffee and cookies to follow. We have taken a nomadic faith and domesticated and anchored it properly so that we might control it better. Taken a nomadic God and his wandering son and settled them down to our liking, effectively tethered them, or so we think, so they won't wander too far. Of course, that is all just a myth. For no one can tether God, and no one can hold Jesus back. The only ones tethered or held back are those of us sitting here today. And those of us sitting here today, the witness of our forebears comes through once more. Get up, they say. This God is not to be taken sitting down. Don't get too comfortable here. Jesus is still on the move and calling forth to each of you, come, follow me. If you are serious about this whole faith thing, then you've got to move. Sure, the pace or the direction of the journey may shift from time to time, but it is still a journey. It still requires motion, one step after another, rising heartbeat, sweat, and tears. When was the last time your faith got you moving like that? If you can't remember, then you have been sitting here too long. It's time to get those legs moving, to look to the horizon and then look beyond. That is where God is calling you, and that is where Jesus awaits your company. Friends, there is no such thing as passive Christianity. Biblical scholar and popular writer, the late Marcus Borg, concludes his most famous book entitled Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time with these words about his newfound faith. He writes, "Until my late 30s, I saw the Christian life as being primarily about believing. Like many of us, as a child, I had no problem with belief. But at the end of childhood, there began a period lasting over 20 years, in which, like many, I struggled with doubt and disbelief. All through this period, I continued to think that believing was what the Christian life was all about. Yet no matter how hard I tried, I was unable to do that. And I wondered how others could. Now I no longer see the Christian life as being primarily about believing. The experiences of my mid-30s led me to realize that God is, and that the central issue of the Christian life is not believing in God, or believing in the Bible, or believing in the Christian tradition. Rather, the Christian life is about entering into a relationship with that to which the Christian tradition points, which may be spoken of as God, or the risen living Christ, or the Spirit. And as a Christian is one who lives out his or her relationship to God. I sometimes joke that if I were ever to write my spiritual autobiography, he continues, I would call it Beyond Belief to Relationship. That has been my experience. My own journey has led beyond belief and beyond doubt and disbelief to an understanding of the Christian life as a relationship to the Spirit of God. A relationship that involves one in a journey of transformation. Just because the summer is winding down doesn't mean that the time for journeying is drawing to a close. For those who claim faith in Jesus Christ, it is always travel season. So let's get moving. Put our faith into action. We may not always know the way. May not always feel confident in our direction. But friends, when it comes to Jesus, moving is always preferable to staying put. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.